Hi, this is Christopher O'Reilly, host of From the Top. Thank you for tuning into this week's podcast. While this podcast is free for all of you, it actually costs our little nonprofit some significant resources to purchase rights for all this fabulous music. Please consider making a small gift to From the Top and keep us broadcasting loud and clear. Go to fromthetop.org and click on Support.
Today we'll meet a teenage cellist who didn't like poetry until he discovered T.S. Eliot. Only then could he appreciate the older masters. Now he wonders if we shouldn't introduce people to classical music the same way, backwards. First modern, then Mozart. From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. We're at the Mesa Arts Center in Mesa, Arizona, where we'll also hear music composed by a 17-year-old performed by the Phoenix Children's Chorus. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music. Here's our host, the great concert pianist, Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you and welcome. It's wonderful to be at the Mesa Arts Center for the second time, taking in the sun-drenched Phoenix area, enjoying all that great Southwestern food, and celebrating the growing classical music community for kids here. And we want to thank the Twyford Family Foundation for helping to make this visit possible. Two local kids will start off our show back-to-back. That young cellist Joanne mentioned from nearby Gilbert, who's learned to love T.S. Eliot, and up first, a 16-year-old clarinetist from Scottsdale with a unique connection to a different author. I want to introduce her to you with this famous opening sentence from one of that author's books. Emma Woodhouse, handsome, clever, and rich, with a comfortable home and a happy disposition, seemed to unite some of the best blessings of existence and had lived nearly 21 years in the world with very little to distress or vex her. Who wrote that, and what book is that from?
That is from Emma by Jane Austen.
And your name is?
I am Austen Yue, A-U-S-T-E-N, named after the author.
Well, given how much you love the piece we're about to play, maybe they should have named you Camille. Would you please introduce it?
That's right. I'm playing a sonata by Camille Saint-Saëns, the fourth movement, Molto Allegro.
When you're ready, we'll take it from the top.
Thank you.
Austin Yue, 16-year-old clarinetist from nearby Scottsdale, Arizona, playing the final movement of the Saint-Saëns Sonata for Clarinet and Piano. Austin, that was an extraordinary experience. I think we've had one of the movements of the Saint-Saëns, but not that beautiful finale. That was just great the way you played it.
Thank you.
A real pleasure playing that with you. You have a piano teacher mom. Did you start on the piano, and did she start you out?
Right. So when I was about 4 years old, we have two pianos at our house, and she's a piano teacher. So naturally, I went and begged her for lessons when I was about 4 years old. And then we started on piano, and we've been playing to this day.
Very good. And your mom, I understand, had to disabuse you of some funny assumptions you made as a kid concerning piano teachers and moms.
Right. Well, a couple years in, I had to be at least like 6 or 7 or something. I asked her when she started learning piano from her mother. And then she told me that not everyone who plays piano or an instrument learns from their mother. And so at that point, I didn't really know what to do, but I figured might as well keep going. So we have just kept up to this day.
Your dad, I know, is a physicist turned software developer, and I guess that's rubbed off on you a little bit as well. You have a real interest in his world now.
About several months ago, a friend just happened to introduce me to this online programming and computer science class from MIT, and it was free. And so I decided I might as well hop on and just try it out when there was little risk. And I actually ended up really, really enjoying it, and I would consider that as a career path now. And so that's just one more thing Dad and I share.
And to add to all this, you've now been accepted at MIT, but you're not sure you're going to go.
Right. Well, I really, really would love to go, though, because just the art scene in Boston is fabulous. I've heard from amateurs and professionals that MIT's orchestra and the surrounding communities is so supportive of student musicians.
Very true.
And so I would really love to continue making music, whether I go to MIT or wherever else I go.
Well, we do want you to keep playing because you're really good. I know you're a member now of the Phoenix Youth Symphony, conducted by one of our From the Top alums, Keitaro Harada, and so how is he doing? Is he behaving himself and leading you guys?
He's awesome. He's a boss. We all love him.
Oh, that's great. He's a real local arts treasure, Keitaro. And now you won last year's Phoenix Symphony Concerto competition, so any college's orchestra would be lucky to have you. So Austin, again, a beautiful performance and wonderful spending time with you, and we wish you the best of luck. Hope to see you in Boston.
Thank you so much.
Austin Yue, a day away from 17, from just up the road in Scottsdale, Arizona.
This morning, Austin went with us to do an outreach event for a bunch of fourth and fifth graders in Phoenix. We do school visits like this all over the country. To learn more about our education and outreach efforts, go to fromthetop.org. From the Top is made possible in part by the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, advancing the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need. On the web at jkcf.org. Chris.
Thanks, Joanne. Okay, it's time for some unaccompanied cello. And to play it, we have another superb young musician from the Phoenix area. Please welcome from Gilbert, Arizona, 17-year-old cellist Peter Ohm. Peter, welcome. This is quite a tour de force for the cello. Tell everyone what you'll be playing.
Oh, well, I'll be playing Zoltán Kodály's Cello Sonata Opus 8, the third movement called Allegro Molto Vivace. And it's a really fun piece. He got his inspiration from visiting a variety of folk villages around Hungary. And I encourage everybody to listen for the simplistic folk melodies and the folk rhythms, the barbaric grunting and howling that really permeates most of the piece. So hope you enjoy. Thank you.
Peter Ohm, 17-year-old cellist from nearby Gilbert, Arizona, performing the third movement of Zoltán Kodály's Sonata for Solo Cello. Very exciting performance there, Peter. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
Who tends to think deeply and philosophically about music and ideas, like the ideas you have about how people should be introduced to classical music. I understand it has to do with your coming to love poetry a little bit later than you might have.
Oh, yeah. Well, in high school, my sophomore English teacher gave me T.S. Eliot's Love Song of Shelf for Prufrock, which is a beautiful poem. And from then on, I grew to love poetry because before that, all of the poems I got in school were either ones made for textbooks or ones made by old masters that I couldn't really enjoy. So to connect that with classical music, instead of introducing somebody who's completely new to classical music to something like Mozart or Haydn, Kodály is a great example, actually. Kodály is much more relatable, much more modern, and I think that it's more like a complete rock-out piece, that kind of thing. So that's why if you introduce somebody to Kodály, then backwards in time, then he'll really grow to appreciate somebody like Bach or Beethoven.
That's a very good equation there. You've got interesting ideas about the power of interpretation in music. Share that with us.
Yeah, well, I got a few ideas from the seminar I attended in January. It's called Young Arts. And according to Bill T. Jones, among other people, classical musicians and improvisatory dancers could be considered as lesser artists because we do not truly create anything, unlike composers who create art from scratch. We interpret art and we recreate it for an audience. And in my opinion, however, it could go either way because the power of interpretation is such that you as a performer are not only recreating what the original artist, the composer, thought. You as a performer are creating an experience to share with the audience. And that is what interpretation does.
Well, Peter, as a young guy who likes to contemplate the philosophy of art, you're in a long tradition of intellectuals who've enjoyed such a discourse for thousands of years. So we've asked you to play a game with us. We're going to ask you to finish a famous philosophical phrase about music.
You guys told me about that.
Good concept, huh? All right. You ready, Joanne?
I announce, therefore I am.
Exactly.
Okay, let's start by seeing if you can finish this quote by your favorite poet, T.S. Eliot. In his poem, The Dry Salvages, he wrote, "But you are the music, A, without tone, notes, or meter, B, while the music lasts, or C, so sing out loud and strong."
It's probably that one. I would go for B.
B, in other words, yes, but you are the music while the music lasts, the ephemeral quality of music. Very nicely done. Play on, Joanne.
Okay. The 19th century German Jewish poet Bertold Auerbach said, "Music washes away from the soul, A, the dust of everyday life, B, even the toughest stains and won't harm your fine washables, or C, all cares and despairs."
A, yeah, thank you, audience member.
Yeah, all cares and despairs would be pretty much doggerel poetry, so I don't think we could go with that.
Yeah.
So yes, music washes away from the soul, the dust of everyday life. Batting 1,000 there, young man.
Okay, you're going to like this one, Chris. Albert Schweitzer, theologian and physician, said, there are two means of refuge from the miseries of life, music and A, fine wine, B, Starbucks, or C, cats.
Ah, I love all three.
Really?
Cats. Oh, maybe that's not the right thing to say. I would go with C.
Cats, of course. Of course it's cats.
Yeah.
Well, you've carved out a place among the greats, Peter. We're going to have a bust of you alongside Schopenhauer and the best of them. And thanks for that monumental performance of the Kodai.
Well, it was great having you. Thank you.
Best of luck. Peter Ohm, 17-year-old cellist from Gilbert, Arizona. The young violinist on stage with me now comes from Chicago. Her name is Ade Williams, and she's 15 years old. Ade, you were on our show last year playing a ferocious quartet by Alberto Ginastera. If I remember correctly, you described that piece as head-banging classical music. We love that description.
Yes, that was a lot of fun.
We've had a little heavy metal here with the Kodai just
now.
I think the Brahms we're about to play together has a little bit of that kind of energy. While I head back to the piano, tell everyone what we're playing together.
We are going to play the last movement of Brahms' Violin Sonata No. 3 in D minor.
Thank you. Day Williams, 15-year-old violinist from Chicago, Illinois, performing the final movement of the third sonata for violin piano by Johannes Brahms. Ade is one of our Jack Kent Cook Young Artists. Well, it sounds like all Sturm und Drang there, but I know you and I had a great time putting that together.
Yes, that was a lot of fun.
A lot more gleeful than the final product would lead one to believe.
Yes.
Bravo, beautifully done. You're busier than a lot of professional musicians I know, Ade. Mm-hmm. Talk about your concertizing and how it's come about.
Well, last year, 2012, I was lucky enough to win the Sphinx competition, which is a competition for Black and Latina string players. And from that competition, you get to solo with big orchestras all over the country for a year. I got to solo with Cleveland Orchestra and New World Symphony.
Nice.
And all of those really amazing ones.
Very big stuff. You're not only performing with some great orchestras in amazing places, you're studying with amazing people. Like, for instance, I think this is really the most legendary of all of them, British violinist Rodney Friend. He's got to be the only guy who's been concertmaster of the London Philharmonic, the BBC Orchestra, and the New York Philharmonic. What sorts of things has he taught you? I mean, you traveled to Europe to study with Rodney Friend, yes?
Yes. There was a camp, a three-week camp in Cambridge, England, which was my first time in England. It was very nice. And I studied with him for 3 weeks last summer, and it was the best summer of my life. Oh, my goodness, because it was so eye-opening. Because, you know, there's amazing teachers that teach you, like, you know, amazing stuff, and it's really, really nice. But this was just completely different. He was asking what made music sound good. And I was like, well, you know, good technique, good sound, you know, vibrato. And he's like, no, it's the color inside the vibrato. And I was like, oh my goodness, that's amazing. But then I was like, I don't know what you're talking about though. So yeah. And so he went into the details, and you know, it's a whole thing to talk about. You know, there's different kinds of vibrato, but the color inside the vibrato that you had to make come across, you actually have to use coordination between your left and right hand, right and left arm.
So he was saying that vibrato is not just a matter of, you know, wide or narrow,
right,
fast or slow, that actually how the bow interacts with that balances it and creates that color that he's talking about.
Right, and you know, when you'd use different vibrato basically on every note,
right.
And I noticed, well, he noticed that I used faster bow when I did faster vibrato, mm-hmm, and you know, slower bow when I did slower vibrato. And he's like, no, don't do that. And the first two notes of the Tchaikovsky concerto we were working on for like the entire lesson, and the first note had to be narrow vibrato with slow bow, and the second one had to be wider vibrato, but the bow had to stay completely the same. And it was so hard to get it coordinated because my right hand, you know, wants to go with my left. So,
but it's a whole world of variation and variety.
Yeah,
and
it was just things that I've never, you know, thought about or discovered. And he literally said at the end of the lesson, he was like, now go change your life. And then I was like, I will.
Yes.
And so it was literally life-changing. It was amazing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I also love the fact that you want all sorts of musical experiences beyond the highfalutin soloist world you're probably born for. Like, you're interested in playing in the pit, right? You like
yeah,
opera.
Yeah. I think it would be really fun. I saw my first opera at the Lyric Opera in Chicago a few years ago. My mom would take me, and it was The Elixir of Love. And it was, oh my goodness, I can't even explain it. It was amazing, amazing, amazing. And of course, me being a violinist, I'm looking in the pit, you know, watching people play these amazing scores. And I was like, that would be totally awesome to get, like, you know, to see these, you know, operas. And along with, you know, soloing with different orchestras all over the world, I also want to be in the pit. You know, I just think it would be cool.
Just do it all.
Yeah.
Just do it all.
Yeah.
You know, just enormous worlds of repertoire and enormous choices of,
yes,
vibrato and the color inside
right,
the vibrato.
Right, just experience it all.
We experienced it all with you, Ade, and it was spectacular having you on the show.
Thank you so much
for
having me.
Thanks, all the best.
Thank you.
Ade Williams, 15 years old, our violinist from Chicago, Illinois.
If you like From the Top, make sure you like us on Facebook. It's the easiest way to stay in touch with everything From the Top.
You'll find daily videos, articles, photos, and a thriving community of fans. Join the fun by going to facebook.com/fromthetopfans.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from U.S. Trust, believing that the arts have a worth all their own in stimulating the hearts and imaginations of our country's best young musicians. From the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, committed to a vigorous presence for poetry in American culture, poetryfoundation.org. And from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, presenting the MacArthur Award for Creative and Effective Institutions. Winners are at macfound.org. This is NPR.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. This week, we're coming to you from the Mesa Arts Center in Mesa, Arizona. Coming up, the Phoenix Children's Chorus performs a piece written by a 17-year-old composer, a setting of a poem by Walt Whitman. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music. Special thanks to KBOC, 89.5 FM, for their help in making today's show in Mesa possible. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Now, piano music by Prokofiev, played by a talented 14-year-old from Danville, California. Please welcome Christopher Son Richardson. Welcome, Christopher. Tell everyone what you're going to play.
I'm going to play the third movement of Prokofiev's fourth sonata in C minor.
Christopher's son, Richardson, 14 years old, a pianist from Danville, California, performing the third movement of Prokofiev's Piano Sonata in C minor. Christopher, that was such a great pleasure. I mean, you not only capture, as many pianists do, the acerbic and sarcastic sense of good fun in that music, but really the intrinsic lyricism of Prokofiev. You know, he started out as a small child writing operas, and so having that beautiful singing quality is really so important, and really had that in spades. That was beautiful. Christopher, at your young age, you've had a rich background of teachers. How many teachers have you had? You're only 14, my gosh.
A total of 7.
Mm-hmm. Hard to get along with, huh?
Yeah.
So, who are you studying with these days?
Well, I'm currently studying with 3 at the same time. One is Dr. Frederick Wowdy at Stanford. He is my weekly teacher. And one is Professor John O'Connor at the Aspen Music Festival. I study with him in the summer. And the last one is, I'm Skyping with him, Professor Robert Shannon.
Okay, he's at Oberlin.
Yes,
I remember. Do they ever contradict each other in their teaching of you?
Obviously, of course, they're going to sometimes contradict. But when they do, I just choose whichever one I prefer.
That's good. Diplomacy will out, yes. You had a great performance opportunity at the Aspen Music Festival. You were the opening act for somebody pretty famous. Tell us about that.
Well, one day, one of the higher-ups at the Aspen Music Festival called me and asked me whether or not I wanted to perform and open the event for the Sara Chang concert. Of course, I said yes.
So that obviously went very well. Sara Chang, was she okay with... I mean, did you show her up or anything, or did she have something nice to say to you?
Well, after I performed, I got to see her for a few minutes. She said she very much liked my performance, but... She was a violinist. So.
She's a violinist. You know, what she I think she can have an appreciation of your playing. Even those of us in the audience who don't play the piano, I think appreciated the great quality of your playing, and that really comes across. And we wish you all the best, Christopher.
Thank you.
Thanks. Christopher Son Richardson, 14 years old, our pianist from Danville, California.
Podcasts of From the Top are available every week at fromthetop.org. Over the last 5 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded well over $1 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more. Chris.
Next up, we'll hear the Phoenix Children's Chorus sing a setting of a text by Walt Whitman composed by a young man from Denver. Let's meet him.
So my grandma is really into music. This is her favorite piece. It's Finlandia by Sibelius. When I was 9, she lives in Kentucky. I went and visited her for this summer. And as soon as we landed, she said, "I have a surprise for you." And me being 9, I thought it was some sort of toy or like some pack of Yu-Gi-Oh cards or something. And I go into my room, and on top of my bed is a piano book, a beginner's piano book. And I was astonished and actually a little disappointed because I was expecting something electronic at that age, but I figured I might as well make the best of it if she's going to pay for piano lessons. My name is Trey Purnell. I'm 17 years old. I'm from Denver, Colorado. I play the piano, I compose, and I sing. I've taken lessons for about 7 years since my grandma gave me that book. This is me playing the Mendelssohn Concerto in G minor. I'm very dedicated to the piano. Usually, I practice for a little bit. I love practicing Chopin. I think he's the most entertaining pianist to play, in my opinion. And then the practice will gradually start to turn into improvisation and a little bit of composition. I don't like people trying to label me. In high school, I've always kind of enjoyed being a sort of oxymoronic character. You know, the kid who listens to classical music but also happens to like wrestling. I wrestled freshman year. My brother actually got me into it. He wrestled at the same high school I did on the same team 4 years prior to me, and he's the assistant coach now. I think in eighth grade, he came home and suggested that I do it, and he told me it would be the hardest thing I'd ever do. And it was. So I'm the kid who loves classical music and also wrestled, but I also happen to love hip-hop and breakdancing. This tune is 1976 by RJD2, and it's one of my favorite tunes to dance to. I did a lot of competitions, but finding a place to practice in my house had always been a problem. We had a tiny, I want to say 15 by 15 foot square in my basement, covered with this really, really frictiony carpet. And one day I was practicing a move called a windmill, where you spin across the floor, and I can't really describe it, but I got rug burn on my face, and it was bad. It was very bad. And the scar stayed there for about 3 weeks. And people always asked me how I got it, and I told them I got in a fight with a bear, just to be facetious, but then I told them the truth. I currently live right now with my mom and my sister, and I have an immense amount of respect for the both of them because they've always supported me and my endeavors, and they've always allowed me to be as creative as I want, whether it's playing the piano at 11 o'clock at night or singing as loud as I possibly can around the house. But lately, it hasn't been as easy for us since the summer of my freshman year. My dad was incarcerated around that time, and it's one of those things that you feel only happens on TV. And when it happens to you, it's so surreal. It doesn't feel like it's real life. But we all handled it very well, especially my sister. I respect her so much because she, being, I think, 8 years old at the time, handled it so maturely and eloquently, I want to say. There was a moment when she found out, because I found out before her, where we looked each other in the eyes and there was just a mutual silent understanding that we would both get through this together. For me, it kind of felt like I was swimming through molasses at that point. It was hard to do things, but not achieving wasn't an option for me. I had to achieve. I had to go on. I couldn't quit. And I'm committed to doing great things in music as well. This is my composition. It's called a maravilla, which means wonder in Spanish. I've always had an innate desire to compose. Ever since I found that piano book on the bed, I've been kind of tinkering on the piano, trying to figure out that matrix of black and white keys. And it was confusing at first, but the more I did it, the better I got. So I joined choir recently, last year, and within the first couple months of being in the program, I tried to write a piece for the choir, which my director took one look at and said maybe, which was a very nice way of saying no. The parts were choppily written and too hard to sing. But he approached me later in the year and said he was actually okay with the idea of me writing a piece for the choir. So over the summer, I wrote a piece, and that's what you're about to hear. What I'd really like to do next year, after I choose a college, is expand on every area of my musical vocabulary. And what I'm actually really interested in is seeing if I can compose pieces for voice and piano that are really intricate and deep, that I can sing and play at the same time, kind of a performance and composition art, if you will. But one thing I've learned doing music thus far is that there's a lot of different directions you can take it, and I'm not going to choose a direction right now. I'm going to leave my options open and see what happens.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome from Denver, Colorado, Trey Purnell. Trey, you were pretty modest talking about your plans for next year. Tell everyone where you've just now been accepted for college.
I've been accepted to Yale University.
Wow, thank you. Trey, now we're going to hear this composition you've written for choir. And oh my gosh, standing right behind us, look, there's a choir. Who are they, Trey?
This is the Phoenix Children's Chorus.
And their director is Ron Carpenter. As you said, this piece came out of your desire to write for your own high school choir. It's very cool that your director, you know, went along with that and let that happen. Would you please introduce the piece?
So, the piece is called O Captain, My Captain, named after a poem by Walt Whitman of the same name. Basically, the poem is about the death of Abraham Lincoln, and I really tried to invoke the same feelings that Whitman felt when he wrote the poem, which is the loss of a beloved leader.
Okay, so the Phoenix Children's Chorus singing O Captain, My Captain by Trey Purnell. Take it away.
My captain, 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 my capt
The Phoenix Children's Chorus sang "O Captain, My Captain" by Trey Purnell, 17 years old, a composer from Denver, Colorado. So, Trey, that was magnificent. Beautiful piece.
Thank you.
So how'd they do? You like the performance?
This is not an easy piece at all, and they made it sound easy.
Well, great.
They sang it beautifully.
Well, Trey, we can't wait to hear and see what you're going to come up with next, and we wish you all the best.
Thank you. Thanks again for the opportunity.
You bet. Trey Purnell, 17 years old, from Denver, Colorado. I want to speak briefly with two of the members of this choir and then ask them to sing something else to close our show. Standing next to me now are Nadia Manzo, an alto, and Corey Johnson, a tenor. Both are 17 years old. Nadia, what did you think of Trey's piece when you first started rehearsing it?
Well, like Trey said, it's a really difficult piece. And so at first, my personal opinion is I didn't enjoy it too much. It wasn't an easy song to learn, and it was just kind of, it was a challenge. But as we sang it more, it's definitely grown on me. We've gotten the notes down, and now it's just working on musicality, and it's a beautiful piece. It's amazing.
Well, and obviously the dedication and hard work pays off.
Yeah.
Very nicely done. What about you, Corey? How did you feel about the piece?
At first glance, I really did enjoy it. Like, the complex harmonies and the stretching of every single chord I thought was incredible. And like Trey said earlier, the
the poem itself having to deal with Abraham Lincoln and just the movement, you know, the sadness that the American people were feeling. I thought it was amazing how he was able to just match the chords and the stretching that was within them to, you know, match the tone that was going on in America during
Nicely
the time.
Said, and nice that you have a sort of a global perspective about where you are in the various harmonies. That's where all the good tension comes from in a performance. Nadia, Corey, you two go back and take your positions in the group while I say hello to your director, Ron Carpenter. Ron, we really appreciate so much you putting together Trey's piece just for our show.
It's been our pleasure.
So what have you got to take us out of the program?
We have a very exciting spiritual for you called Angels Watching Over Me. It's going to include some choreography and some hand clapping, and we hope it's a great way to end the program tonight.
I'm sure it will be. And our accompanist will be Laurie Woods. Quite an uplifting way to end our show. I want to thank all of our young performers, and thank you for listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And now Ron and the Phoenix Children's Chorus, please take it from the top.
Angels watching over me all night, all day. Angels watching all night.
Written and produced by Tom Bagley and Tim Banker, with music producer Tom Vinieri. The tour producer is David Balsam, and the production manager is Elizabeth DeVore. Technical direction by Barrett Willett, with David Forbes, Claus Nystrom, and John Servies. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. Our founding partners are New England Conservatory and WGBH Boston. To download an application to appear on our program, visit fromthetop.org.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people, online at wtgrantfoundation.org. From the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives, at GatesFoundation.org, and from the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, making grants to solve social and environmental problems at home and around the world, on the web at Hewlett.org. This is NPR.
Thanks for downloading this week's From the Top podcast. If you liked what you heard, head over to our website, FromTheTop.org, where you can listen to every show in its entirety. I'm Christopher O'Reilly. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you again next week.